Hey everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And there is no man in the booth because we are coming to you from the Pit Attic, the hottest, wettest box in the entire world. We're very excited to have you guys here. Let's get a round of applause from you guys.
Yes, thank you guys for coming out into the spa.
Yes, normally we don't have this intimate a show, but we're always very excited to have this intimate a show.
Because it's hard to find intimacy in your life, and I'm glad that we've been able to really create it here for you.
Yeah, find after a kid that it's just harder to find intimacy?
Yeah, the child is like a wall between me and America.
Yeah. Well, you have a baby, right?
That's true. Yeah.
And does the baby talk to you about comic books?
That the only words she said so far are the Clone Saga is overrated.
That's crazy.
That's bold.
She's got a weird. She's trying to say that the nostalgia has taken over and we've come to love that when really it was a terrible series.
Yeah. Now, Pete, you had something you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah. So Justin just had his birthday.
Happy birthday, Justin!
Yeah, thank you.
That's great. And, I'm very excited for you.
It doesn't seem like that's Pete's final message. I think he has a deeper.
Justin invited me to his birthday party, which was weird. I was shocked. So I went. I brought a knife just in case it was a trap.
Jesus.
But, a trap?
Yeah.
A murder trap?
I don't know what you were, what you're into. You know what I mean? You're a weird dude. Anyways, Justin was there. His lovely wife
I
and his new baby.
Up. I ended up showing up.
And I got to see his new place, which was exciting. But the interesting part was that I ended up talking with this gentleman who was... talking to me about how overrated Luke Cage was.
Whoa.
That sent me into a rage.
Well, we should probably set up for those of you who didn't listen to our last episode or who weren't here last week. Pete, in the first 48 hours of Luke Cage, watched 26 hours of Luke Cage.
May I correct you, 27 hours, because he watched the third episode three times.
That's right. So anyways, I got in this, and because I was around adults... And Justin's wife and child. I didn't want
wait,
to.
Sorry.
And Justin was there.
Right.
Let's not forget about old.
Is Justin's wife and Justin not adults?
Justin's not an adult. His wife is. And I didn't want to make a scene. Great. So instead of beating the shit out of this guy, I calmly just nodded and let him go off on this rant. It made me so angry, I immediately went home and I questioned. I was like, maybe I'm just wrapped up in the excitement of Luke Cage. Maybe it's not as... amazing as I rewatched episode three.
Did you watch it again?
Yeah, and I was like, you know what?
What's your problem?
It is bulletproof. It is fantastic.
Just like Luke Cage.
So you and your friends, Justin. Luke Cage is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you for not saying anything to the person that said that. And then saying it on the podcast where hundreds and thousands, millions of people.
Yeah. But
listen,
is there a point when you're not watching Luke Cage?
You know, there is sometimes, and it's depressing. Uh-huh. So that's why I
go
back to watching
Luke Cage.
Do we need
to give you something to do? Do we need to give you a task or something?
I read comics.
Are you worried you're going to overwatch it and then not like it?
I do worry about that, but so far it hasn't happened.
Wow. Well, keep us posted on your Cage Watch.
Yeah,
because and let us know if when you rewatch any episodes change.
Sure.
Because sometimes that happens with TV shows. The ending will change or a different character will show
up. I should mention at the same time that Pete's been doing that with Luke Cage, I've been doing the same thing with The Cape, the NBC show. I've been watching it pretty much on a loop. At this point, I've watched it for, 27 times, 30 times.
We make a lot of deep esoteric references. That may be the deepest.
Yeah, this is true, actually. The people who made The Cape did not watch The Cape.
Ironic, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if it's ironic, but you know what is ironic? Having this guy on our show once again, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
The most ironic thing that's ever happened.
It's because we give a small venue and a giant guest.
Yay!
That makes sense.
Ben Kissel, thank you so much for coming on. Very excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Show.
It's wonderful to be here. I've learned so much about Luke Cage. I feel like I don't have to watch it.
You better fucking watch it.
I'll watch it.
All right, good.
Yeah, Pete's probably going to kill you by the end of the show.
I would never do that.
Your Luke Cage bullying is just the kind of thing that Luke Cage would fight against.
You're right, but I'm not bullying.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ben, you do a podcast. We've talked about it a couple of times on the show called Last Podcast on the Left.
It's all about serial killers. And then I do one called Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, which is all about politics. And I think Abe Lincoln's Top Hat is more macabre than Last Podcast on the Left.
And you also produce... produce a television show.
I produce a show on Fox News called Red Eye. It airs at 3 o'clock in the morning, prime Kissel time, and everybody loves it.
So let me ask you a question. I don't know how much you're allowed to talk about this. What are things like at Fox News right now?
Strange. Roger Ailes did a bunch of awful things, and obviously he's out. Trump has led to a whole series of different scenarios where some people are super on board with him and other hosts were sexually harassed by him. I would say it's in transition, to say the least, and I'm excited to see what happens in 2017.
So you would say more convoluted than the Clone Saga.
Ah, nice.
It is a little bit, but Rupert's kids are going to take over in 2017, and I think Fox News, as Trump begins his own television ventures, Fox News will become a little bit more center, and they will continue to be number one in the ratings, but they won't be as conservative.
Interesting.
That's what's going to happen with
Fox
News.
Is it some sort of like fun factory when you get over there? Is
they don't even give you toilet paper.
Yeah.
Oh, there wow.
I swear to God, Fox News gets about a $1 billion surplus every year because they treat everybody as if they are pigs in a farm. And I don't even have a spider who knows how to scribe in her spider's
web. No one knows
how
to write there except for that one.
I know how to write there. There's some great
the
writers.
You're the Charlotte.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't want to spoil
it. If we're talking
it.
About Sex in the City, I'm the Miranda because I have red hair and I love vagina. And that's more of a Cynthia
Nixon joke.
Did
you know that
Nixon
actually
joke.
Miranda died at the end?
Was that?
Miranda die at the end.
Charlotte.
That's Charlotte died in that horrible
Miranda
episode.
Yeah, yes. That's right. But it's fascinating. It's a great time for politics, a scary time for the country, a good time to be at Fox News, and we'll see where the network goes. It has to do, there'll be some massive changes.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. A lot of mainstream outlets, and I know this is not where everybody's focus is right now, have started covering comics, that it has really broken through to the mainstream,
Mainstream
news coverage. Is that something you guys cover on Fox News? Or?
We do mostly with automation and a lot of robotic talk, a lot about how the future of the world is already doomed because us as humans have created our future masters, which will be robots.
So in your own way, you're writing your own science fiction for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone's so scared of, automation, which they've already taken the jobs of every CVS worker or Walgreens worker. And soon they'll replace police officers and individuals who are in the military. And it's going to be absolutely horrific. We just had somebody on our show on last podcast on the left who worked at Area 51. He was talking about the exoskeleton that the military is developing. It's straight out of Iron Man. A man sits in the middle of it. They surround him by this contraption, and the person is able to do and control this massive machine, and they have microwave guns and all these things.
Now,
spoke with someone who was in Iraq, and they used a real microwave gun, and I mean, the future is now, and it's
to warm up a burrito
terrifying.
Or to
to a person, and I think it's racist if you call an Iraqi a burrito.
That is definitely a misguided racist statement.
Yes.
But the person that worked at Area 51 still works there?
No, they've all since, left. You can't talk when you're there. And when you do talk about it, you have to give your name you have to be like, I'm Sergeant, Taint Nut or whatever it might be.
Is that a good code name?
Taint Nut?
Yeah.
No, but no one will know your name. Kevin Jameson from Iowa.
Last podcast on the left is amazing. Sum it up for people in case they don't know and they want to check it out.
It's all about true crime, paranormal activity, UFOs or UFOs, as some nerds call them. And we just finished up an episode on Dean Corll. We've done 25 different serial killers now, and we did some great episodes on 9/11. And you should check it out.
Ever do Edward Ruloff?
Not yet, but we'll get to him.
Okay. Oh, wow. Dropping some cereal. That's your pseudonym when you came.
No. It's Edward Ruloff is the learned murderer. I went to Ithaca College, and I did a documentary about him, and it's it's an insane case.
That owned Ruloff's?
They named the bar after him.
Really?
Yeah, which is crazy.
Wow. Uh-huh. I went to Cornell for 4 years, never knew that.
Yep.
There you go. Right next door. Pete and I went at the same time. Never knew each other.
Isn't that
exciting? You were at different colleges, so that makes a lot of sense.
Pretty weird.
Pretty weird.
I was there in a similar time. I was in college in a similar time, but I was 60 miles away at Hamilton College.
There you go. Well, somebody should have left a comic book right in the middle, and we would have just felt the siren call of it. Do you guys ever cover horror comic books at all on the podcast?
Well, not too much. We usually focus on the true crime itself. But, I mean, horror comics, I think, are wonderful. The genre itself is absolutely massive because I think people have a real, thirst for knowledge about the dark side of humanity, especially now as we've become, Donald Trump is damn near the president of the United States.
Does not say that.
He's closer than any of us.
That's true.
So I think the dark side of humanity is something that people are very interested in more than ever.
All right. Very cool. And where can people check it out?
They can find that on Cave Comedy Radio. And all my shows are on there.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
How exciting.
Excellent. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack. And in the Stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week. Let's kick it off with Pete's pick, which is Deadpool, number 20 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah. Oh, great stuff.
Great comic.
Pete, you want to talk about this one a little bit? This is a little bit of a special one-off issue.
Yeah, so Jordan D. White, the editor on this bad boy, tweeted out about this being a special issue, and I was intrigued. I normally pick up this issue, but I was extra excited to read this, and I was very impressed with this. A lot of times superheroes are tackling supervillains and giant evil robots and all this stuff, but here Deadpool takes time out of his day to help a woman who's standing on a roof thinking about committing suicide, and does an amazing heartfelt thing. And it is a hilarious story, which is also heartwarming and beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Justin, what did you think about this issue?
I thought it was nice. Deadpool was sort of taking a break. I mean, he was doing his thing.
Yeah, he's being Deadpool.
He's being Deadpool. But he ends it in sort of a nice, earnest way. I thought it was good.
That's one of the reasons I really like Deadpool is, yes, he's silly, he's ridiculous, he shoots things, but also he has a giant heart, and he's pretty loyal. He is a fantastic character that they can use in different ways, and this is just a fantastic opportunity that Marvel used this character in what I think is a very smart manner.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, this reminds me, there's an issue of Firearm, an old comic from the Ultraverse back in the like 90s, that was very similar to this. That character, Firearm, there's a woman who's about to jump off a building, and he goes and helps her in his sort of British way.
Oh, interesting.
So while Deadpool's crazy, he's British, and it's a similar thing.
Yeah.
Are you saying that crazy people are British, or British people are crazy? I'm trying to figure out what you're...
No, I'm saying that's a great difference between these two.
Did you check out this issue, Ben?
I just thumbed through it. I think it's a lazy day for Deadpool. I think he just wants to have a day off, and he's like, I got to do something mildly heroic. I'll go stop this random blonde hot white chick from jumping off a building. I mean, it seems kind of lazy. There had to be a bank heist that day. Something had to happen in Deadpool land that was much more significant than this random woman who's about to jump off a building.
Well, technically, a bank heist is sort of, it's just money.
Yeah.
And this is someone's
You never
life.
Knew who's going to get shot. You know, I mean, if Paul Blart's not working at the mall, then you never know how many people are going to go down. It's That's America. Deadpool could have done something better with his day than
I
save this random.
He could have.
She might be a juggalo for all we know.
That is the worst thing that a person could be.
That's correct. So I would say overall, Deadpool, you don't get to be a superhero today. No.
In your comic, Paul Blart Saves a Juggalo is actually very similar and
yes.
great.
It's a great comic.
It's gorgeous.
It's really
a gorgeous
beautiful.
Heart
yes, and he buys all the clothes that the Juggalo tried to steal from Hot Topic. He buys them for that Juggalo. Which is kind of sweet.
You're a horrible person.
Well, you
have
really on top of the Juggalo movement.
I know a lot about Juggalos.
Is that, the Juggalo movement, I feel like, is sort of losing a step.
No, not at all.
Gaining?
Oh, multiple steps.
Are we just over it? Because it was such a thing a few years ago.
Oh, like Juggalo, six years ago. The great Malenko family is together, stronger than ever, drinking their Fagos, for sure. that's the name of their drink. I didn't name it.
Fagos?
It's Fago.
I thought it was Fago.
Yeah. It's Fago.
Fago. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Is ICP, are they releasing any new albums, anything like that?
Insane Clown Posse doesn't have to do anything. You know, they just sit there, they're extremely wealthy, raking the money. My friend Catherine Timpf actually went to a Juggalo conference. You can find it. She did it for Barstool Sports. Google Catherine Timpf, T-I-M-P-F, Juggalos. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. They're true lunatics. But a great slice of America. Either way, Deadpool just saved one of them, and he could have been stopping a bank heist.
There is no evidence she is a juggler.
There is some evidence.
This is like the Trump of comic book reviews. Okay, let's move on. Black Monday Murders, number 3 from Image Comics.
Yeah, you're holding that.
How do you hold
like this?
Oh, like that. There we go. That was a fun little visual moment for the people listening at home on this podcast. But talk about this book. What do you like
in,
about this book?
In Alex's defense, the guy is upside down on the comic.
Yes, so
yes, I know.
Down.
What a riddle to solve.
So I got to be honest. I read the first two issues. I didn't have a chance to read this third issue yet. This is a Jonathan Hickman book.
Yes.
It's about the conspiracy behind rapid changes of finance throughout history, things like Black Tuesday, etc. I'm just going to guess something about this book.
Right.
Does somebody mention circles or wheels at any point?
Well, let me get. There are a lot of circles in this.
All
but
right.
That's normal if you look around in the world. There's a lot of circles everywhere.
Sure. Jonathan Hickman is just one of these authors that's really noticed all the circles of the world and put them in comics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's the writer, so the only circles he's dealing with are the O's and zeros that he writes about.
Uh-huh.
But in this, yes, it's about Wall Street and the way that money is managed in the world is there's a cult sort of behind it and some sort of like devil character that is really guiding the banks and everything like that. But in the, we're following a detective as he there's a murder. All these symbols drawn on the wall. Yes, circular. I know that really gets your goat. You're more of a square
he
guy.
Just here's the thing is that I love Jonathan Hickman and I love reading Jonathan Hickman stuff. Every single one of his things is like, what if there were circles? What if it was the Avengers? But what if there was a bunch of circles of Avengers? What if there were a bunch of wheels or whatever? I don't know. The wheels are turning. I don't know.
Did you just thumb through this or something? It sounds like, I know my talking point will be circles.
Have you never noticed that in all of his books? Every single one of his books, he always talks about the great wheel is always turning.
You're right. See, my issue is that, have you ever noticed that most comic books are rectangles? Now that's fucked.
Is that
up.
True?
I mean, Keiko, I don't want to start a conspiracy
because
theory.
I've been reading a bunch.
It's
going to
show up on one of your podcasts, Ben. But a lot of comic books, if you look at the wall, rectangles.
I want to start. I'll start one that's a triangle.
Good,
nice.
Do it up.
Yeah. There we go.
Really very excited. Difficult to
Pete,
read.
What did you think about this book?
I was reading it, going, "Why is this a comic book? It's very dense."
So you had like an existential crisis.
I was just like, there's literally pages and pages of just words.
There's not that many words to be fair.
It's not that many.
Fuck you! Count them, motherfucker!
That is your Achilles heel. Pages full of words.
I mean, So your thought was, when I'm reading a comic book, why am I reading the comic book?
Exactly. Right. Why are you a comic book if I'm reading you like a book?
It's a comic book.
You're going to really enjoy movies.
Yeah,
very little reading.
Not in subtitled.
Yeah,
no.
Don't see a foreign film because that's going to bother you the most.
Love the ring.
Love
and
foreign
ring
films. Anyways, this is very dense. I mean, it's classic Hickman.
And let me just say, before you give your review, which I do want to hear, so far the reviews have been too many circles and too many words.
Right.
So I don't know if we're really dealing with the literary aspect.
Here's the thing.
I'm just
going
to say, I have a chance to have the most intelligent review of this comic.
Yeah.
Get after it.
Yeah, I do want to mention, just to give some context, you know, as we mentioned earlier, Pete and I went to, they're not exactly sister schools, but we did go to similar schools, Ithaca and Cornell, right next to each other.
Uh-huh.
There was a very traumatic experience that happened with wheels on the bus.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys go to college or preschool? I think you might have gone to a preschool.
Oh, it was preschool. We went to Bright Horizons.
I don't like words. I don't like circles.
So anyways, I feel like Hickman tackles these kind of dense things, these big picture kind of subjects, which is very enjoyable. But sometimes I read a comic book and I'm looking for a little bit of an idea and I'm hoping pictures will fill out the thing. But
what a crazy way to describe comic books.
Yeah, but anyways.
Just open for some pictures, man.
Yeah, you know.
Keep it cool.
Keep it cool, Hickman. I don't want to, you know, I know how shitty Wall Street is. I know how shitty things are outside. So it's like, this is a very depressing book.
This isn't a documentary. It is a story. There's a lot of murder in this.
It's all true.
Yeah, it's yet to be proven.
It's like Hillary Clinton.
Whoa.
I don't know. You're really putting out the conservative side of your politics right now.
No. I said something positive about Hillary Clinton. I think it's wonderful. The book is a great thing. And I love that there's a lot of words in it. And I also enjoy circles because mice like them and I have a mouse.
Mice, like, because they look like cheese, circles of cheese.
Yes.
Or are they, like, running in circles?
Yes. Yeah. And
what
I have
were you thinking that mice like about circles?
I don't know. I have a mouse named Pudgy who runs around my apartment, and I give it Papa John's. And so he probably like
is that
I
give a good idea?
Isn't Papa John's racist or something like that?
Papa John's?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No, I'm pretty sure Papa John.
No,
I don't
Papa John, the man behind
Papa
John.
How is Papa John's racist?
The man behind Papa John is a huge conservative Republican Party donator. He is
sort of known in
the modern culture as a monster.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning is their spokesperson.
The slogan is better ingredients, no gays, right?
Yeah, I believe that's
Oh, you're thinking of Chick-fil-A who have changed their stance on that.
Oh,
never politicize your food. Never politicize food. No, Papa's in the house. Papa John's is absolutely wonderful.
All right. First off, I'm a little worried about your mouse. I don't think it's a good idea to feed him Papa
John's. Pudgy is fine. It's getting fat as hell.
Let me see.
Super happy mouse.
But you're literally running an experiment. The mouse is getting fatter, and you're eating the same thing as the mouse.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying you're testing your body against this little version of you.
Yes, and the mouse is happy as shit.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right.
Where Pudgy goes, there go I.
Oh, interesting. We were talking about intimacy earlier. You need to find some person to talk to.
I have many people. Many
good.
People.
I'm just checking in with you.
Yes. Yes.
Well, anyway, I know I did make a little fun of the circles, but this book is great. It's
very
really
good.
Good. Incredibly dense. It's usually, I don't know the exact page count, but it's definitely at least.
It's a longer comic, but I will say.
Yes, a lot of words.
The density, it is. There's a lot of ideas in Jonathan Hickman's
that's
work.
Worth it.
But this third issue really starts to lay it out, and you can really start to see how the story's going to take shape.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is $4.99, so you could get a 20-page comic that has about 3 minutes of story for $4.99,
yeah.
Or you can get this, which you really want to spend time with and delve into. Yeah.
Do you want
the
to eat
art
a,
is gorgeous
Do you
want to
eat
well.
A piece of pepperoni or a full Papa John's?
Hold yeah, do you want
line.
Papa John's or
full
do you want
Papa
actual
John's.
Pizza?
Papa John's is technically pizza, although I do agree with you. It is Papa John's pizza. It's fast food pizza. It's a special kind of pizza. It's its own genre.
Oh, yeah. That is their slogan, though, is it's technically pizza, though. As you
no,
said.
It's better ingredients, better pizza, and you know what? It's a slogan that seems
no,
to be working.
I actually think the full one is find better ingredients, find better pizza.
Why would you? You're stoned. It's
no,
they're
I think
from
they're,
Colorado. I will defend
it's from
Papa John's.
Colorado.
I think their slogan is
Papa John, by the way, huge on getting marijuana passed legally in Colorado.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That Papa John is a very complicated
Did you
guy.
Say gay marijuana?
Well, whatever.
Is that a specific
oh, I'm
strain?
Sorry. Pete apparently has a question because he's raising his hand.
Yes, Pete. What do you want on this?
I wanted to say, though, their slogan technically is, if you live in New York City, why the fuck are you ordering Papa John's?
Because
there's
in the
better
house.
Pizza on every corner
you
than Papa
You can get a medium
John's.
Papa John's pizza. First of all, that's kind of a lie. People don't understand
you're
the
You're losing
deals.
This battle.
The deal.
Anywhere
no,
you
mean,
go.
No, it doesn't matter.
There I mean, is amazing deals, but you're...
It's three against one, and that's fine. Papa's in the house. There are... I have an
Stop
app.
That.
I have
saying
an app.
That.
Papa's in the house, my
Stop
friend.
Yeah.
Pudgy loves Papa. I love Papa.
Is Papa's in the house?
$7.99
That has nothing to do with them. That's
for a
what
medium.
You're saying.
If the Yankees, for example,
Win,
hit a humdinger,
you get
50%
off.
If the
Wait
Giants,
a second, are you?
He's Papa's in the house.
Yeah.
If the Giants score, I believe it's 2 touchdowns in a game, they give you a franchise. Papa John's.
Wait, is Papa's in Pete's house?
No,
Papa's.
I don't know.
House.
You know the deal.
Hold on.
Everyone knows the deals because of the best deals in town.
When you were watching Luke Cage, what were you eating?
There's a diner.
It was Papa John's.
It was Papa John's.
God damn it.
He's got that pudgy smell.
By the way,
you look
pudgy
like the mouse.
This is like a good time to bring up, actually, this week's podcast is sponsored by Papa John's.
No, it's not.
Better ingredients, no gays. All right, let's move on to...
What's this, no gays?
Well, I don't know.
Gays he's, love Papa John's.
All I'm saying is he's prejudiced against something. I don't remember what it is.
There was nothing less gay than having the slogan being Papa's in the house. It's the most gay slogan you can have.
That's not the slogan.
Is that? That's the slogan that you can
well,
say.
Well, I'm saying it's Papa's not, in the house.
I don't know. Papa John has never said Papa's in
yes,
the house.
Yes, he does.
We're a comic book talk show. Can
all
we
right.
Get back
well,
to that?
I could talk about Papa John's all day.
I feel like comic books and pizza are slightly related. Let's move on with my pick, Dead No More, The Clone Conspiracy. Number one
oh,
from Marvel Comics.
We were just talking
Ran
about
Ran out of my
fun.
Breath a little bit.
I know. You're so excited to talk about this book. This is an amazing Spider-Man event.
Yes, it is. So this is something that Dan Slott is building up to for a good long while in Amazing Spider-Man. The Jackal, the guy behind the clone saga, is back. He's making clones. This time he says he's on the right side of history. He's creating clones for the greater good. He's perfected his technique. Spider-Man, of course, finds out about the Jackal, doesn't believe him, starts to fight him. But the Jackal has this whole plan that we don't know exactly what's going on yet. All we know is that the Jackal has started cloning people and convinced people that his cloning is okay by bringing back their loved ones.
Yeah.
Which is...
That's fine. That's good.
It's what? Fucked
That's
up.
Not. No, it's
I
not
I think
good.
He's a hero.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a great kickoff to event. I think it's exciting. The art by Jim Cheung is great, as usual. And Dan Slott, as usual, we've talked about this a bunch on the show, but this is an event issue. I think originally it was supposed to run in Amazing Spider-Man, and then they moved it to its own title. He just does such a good job of getting you on board with what's been going on with the complicated mythology, even in a first issue like this. Like, he just works it into the narrative, and he does such a good, solid job there. And then overall, Pete, you are very angrily looking at me, but I'm going to go on anyway. There's some good emotional stuff in here. A character, exactly the character you would expect to be cloned and fuck up Spider-Man's life, comes back in this issue.
Oh, wow.
And it's great. It's a great setup for an event, and I'm excited to see what happens next.
Now, do you think...
All right.
You want to go?
Yeah.
You have something
Fuck
to
this,
say?
Man. So, Dan Slott is an amazing writer. I will give you that.
Okay.
But why does Dan Slott keep being like, hey, what can I do that will drive everybody insane and make them lose their shit and want to hurt me?
So, I'm sorry. You would rather that Dan Slott is like, what could I do to make this title boring and the same each issue?
No. Why not just come up with new stories?
Why
go back and fuck with shit?
Now, let me ask you, why don't you like the original Clone Saga? Can you, like, walk us through, like, what the Clone Saga was?
Pete?
You're the funny guy who does the recap real quick.
Don't say it like that.
Yeah, funny guy.
Why don't you do it, and then I'll do it?
No, I don't want to do it.
Oh, you don't
want to
do it like
do
that?
It. Yeah, I don't want to relive that nightmare.
Because it seems like this, we're not cloning... Peter Parker potentially in this,
right?
Which is the last Clone Saga was cloning Peter Parker, not once but twice. Right. There was another Spider-Man who walked around
a bunch of times.
A bunch of times. It's slightly different clothes.
There's Ben Reilly. Kane.
There's Kane who was bad, but then he was nice later on, and he became a different Spider-Man.
Right.
Then we cloned some other people. The clone conspiracy was the Clone Saga was bad. Now we're back on the
clone conspiracy. The interesting thing about this is a clone of the Clone Saga.
Oh man.
Yeah.
It's
also,
like, it's fucked up. It's like multiplicity.
I mean, the part where Spider-Man's just chilling, all of a sudden it's like, oh, hi, Gwen. What the fuck, man? Are you kidding me?
Spoiler, there you go, bud.
All right, that is
That's
a bit of a
bullshit.
Spoiler. So now that Pete's opened up that can of worms, Gwen Stacy is the clone. He's brought
her
back.
By the way, I'm just going to bring back Gwen Stacy. Hope that doesn't make anybody mad. Sweet, thanks.
Well, it is a clone.
Right, and so, the first thing she says is like, you know, I'm a clone.
So the interesting thing about this, I don't know. I love this sort of sci-fi stuff. What was the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? Was it The Sixth Day?
Yes.
No, not The Sixth Day. It was...
Where he was cloned? Oh.
There was the two Six movies for Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's the one where he opened up hell, and there was the one where he was cloned.
That's The Sixth Day is hell, I think.
Yeah. What's the one where he was cloned?
Well, I'm not quite sure about that. Maybe Total Recall?
No, that was a different one. That's where
is
he
it the one where he
somewhere.
Had a baby? Because that's sort of like cloning.
No,
Junior.
That's Junior.
That was a
You're
great one.
Were you talking about the one where he was a kindergarten cop?
No, that was
Are you talking about the one where he had sex with his nanny and had a child out of wedlock? And then the
No, that's
Kennedy
real
was
life.
That was a
that's
documentary
life,
that you're
yes.
producing.
How
yes.
about the one where he was the governor of California and the state went more and more
that
down?
That sounds
that
crazy.
Didn't happen.
That definitely
never did.
Does anyone know Arnold Schwarzenegger movie? No. Nobody
no
knows.
Clue what that.
I feel like maybe he's lost his step.
Oh, The Sixth Sense. That's what it was.
No,
he was not.
It was Bruce Willis.
So anyway, I don't know. Just the whole idea here is that Gwen Stacy. This is a perfect clone. This is an actual clone with their memories up
memories
until the moment
up until,
they died.
Right, when she, the backup story is her like reliving her death.
Yeah, basically. And I don't know. I think that idea is so interesting. Of if you are cloned at the moment of your death, so your memories can continue and everything else continues, are you still you or are you an entirely
That's
different
a good,
person?
I think someone from the crowd has the answer to our Schwarzenegger question.
Yes, what is it?
Wasn't the one where he fought the devil End of Days?
End of Days.
Oh, days.
Oh, so it wasn't correct. Six, it was Days. Yeah, oh, there we go. Days. Okay, so it's 6 days. Because of the 6 day God created man. Because
I was going to say maybe it's twins you're thinking of. Twins.
Yeah. Oh, that could be. Is it, maybe it's
no,
twins.
No, I wasn't thinking of twins.
Oh, is that a commercial where he's like sort of fighting military all that's on the air? And
no, 100% no, it wasn't
of the
time.
Warcraft
it wasn't
or something like that?
No, he's doing it wasn't Warcraft. Like,
yeah. Maybe I'm, military strike. There's some
you know what,
strike.
Something strike.
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 Predator. Predator.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That.
Predator's
yeah,
good.
There you go.
I gotta say, this whole comic seems to be extremely flawed to me. He brings back people that are loved, right?
Right.
But like loved ones in reality are never loved. Like no one really loves their family. But
oh
everyone
kind
of hates
what?
Their friends.
What
like,
just
when they're
happened?
Dead, then you're like, oh my god, I can't believe they're gone. Oh my goodness, I remember when they used to annoy me in this way. And then you can laugh about it in hindsight. But when people are alive, frankly, you hate them.
Well, let
and
me ask
when
you.
When they're gone, you're like, I've lost the loved one.
I think we're figuring out why you hang out with a mouse all the time.
I love Pudgy the mouse.
Well, let me ask you, what if Pudgy maybe overate a little Papa John's
well,
one day?
Then,
and that took a toll on him.
He'd go to the Papa John's heaven in the sky.
Yes, Papa's in the house, the heaven.
Yes.
And what would you feel like if you had the opportunity to bring Pudgy back?
I would never do it.
You would
you
let him?
Bring no, they never
yeah,
come alone.
You don't
they always
do
come
that.
With an army of demons or God knows what else. A whole series of stories you don't want to sit around and hear about. Yeah, you know, you never bring somebody back from the dead. Dead is the great release. Without death, there is no satisfaction in life. And I completely disagree with the premise.
Well,
keep them dead.
I've never had a bad wish when I've been using my monkey's paw, so I will let you know.
Oh, yeah, you've had no blowback yet, right?
Nothing. It's been great. I'm three fingers through, and everything's going fine.
That sounds disgusting.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, the monkey's paw.
What did
the
you
monkey's
think about
paw?
This?
Curls its hand.
Yeah, it curls.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I can't do that with my fingers.
You never what? Know.
Yeah, my fingers, my...
Your
my
fingers arm. All move at the same time?
Yeah, they do.
Wow, you're like, you may be a clone.
I
think
know,
that's a clone
fingers,
test.
My fingers are fucked up, it's true.
Justin,
why is
your
that
thoughts,
being cold?
Your thoughts
know.
On this comic,
I also
please?
Have Muppet heads.
Maybe that
thoughts are
oh,
all
yeah, you're made of felt.
Comic.
No, I am, seriously.
Your thoughts
so
on
everyone's
this
comic. White in the comic. They can't get anyone who isn't white in these comics?
What?
In any of these comics?
Yeah, none of them are...
No, we don't really read comics.
This comic was edited by... Oh, Papa John. Oh, that's funny. I guess
no,
that's
M&M's.
What racist.
Yes.
M&M's. M&M's edits this.
No. There's the main character in this comic is African-American. This one, it's all white.
It's just the other two that's all white.
I see.
Well, these other characters were created a long time ago when there was everyone who worked in comics was white, which is, what is it?
So you're, you know, the underlying of what you're saying. Yes, it would be nice to have some more color in comic books.
It
Thank
would
you
be.
For pointing that out.
No problem.
Way to
I'm
put
totally
a positive spin
it.
On that.
Yes,
Great.
And I think. Yeah.
Did you want to talk about this piece of shit at all, or what?
It seems good. I was sort of talking about it a little bit when Alex was talking about it. It's. I'm going to keep reading it.
Okay. Great.
Why? Are you off? You're done?
Well, I was never on. But, yeah, I had to read it.
Let me ask you a question. What if they cloned Spider-Man and Peter and Mary Jane's marriage?
Yeah.
What would you think about that?
No, I want them to, in real life, get back together.
Oh, yeah.
Not
like,
in some...
Did you know that they're releasing an ongoing comic book called Spider-Man Renew Your Vows? And
that already happened.
No,
they're bringing it back.
It's
an ongoing now. Where
them together and they have a kid.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Is that really going to happen?
That's really
it's don't already play happening.
Don't play with my emotions.
It's currently
it's
happening.
True.
Why the hell would anybody listen or read that?
What are you talking about?
Why would you care about their love life and then they have a kid? That's just
hey,
reality.
Listen, guy who rarely reads comics, don't fucking piss on my parade, all right?
I'm not pissing on a parade.
I'm just
that
saying.
Would be ridiculous.
Sometimes
that would ruin all the floats.
Sometimes it gives you hope in life if you realize that there is a somebody.
Yeah, but I don't want to think about my superhero having to take care of a kid and wipe its ass because the kid's not a superhero, and then the whole thing, it just has to be a superhero.
If a guy can fight crime and wipe a kid's ass, yes, that is awesome.
And let me say the ass-wiping arc was great.
Well,
there's a lot of development
good.
There. Yeah. Character
yeah, there was it was art. Very decompressed. That was the only.
Yeah,
problem.
Exactly. It was like sort of a story about wiping an ass. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
There you go.
A lot of circles.
Yeah,
you
it was like that
like
Black
it.
Mirror Christmas special. Cool. I think that's it for the stats.
I think we really covered. I think we really covered those.
Guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because we get to go to you guys. It's audience questions. All you have to do is ask a question, and Pete over there is going to give you some free comics.
That's right.
Very
it could
nice.
Be anything. Could be something for our amazing guest here. Could be something just generally about Papa John's or whatever. I'm just spitballing.
You know, the topics that really matter.
You, sir, you raise your hand. Come on over here.
Oh, do you want to? Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey.
What's your name, man?
David.
Hey, David.
Hey. I guess if everybody can go around and name their favorite serial killer.
Favorite serial killer.
Well, I think we should start with the three of us and not Ben. No, yeah. Let's start with Ben.
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, obviously, we don't have favorite serial killers. They're all horrible people. They're all extremely childish and weak. That's the great thing about him. I have to go with, I mean, obviously, Dahmer is from my home state of Wisconsin. He's originally from Ohio, but he did the bulk of his work in Wisconsin the same way that North Carolina takes the Wright brothers away from Ohio, because they first took flight in North Carolina, but they created their work in Ohio.
That's a conspiracy theory that no one's talking about.
No, people do talk about it. Ohioans hate the fact that North Carolinians have taken the Wright brothers away from them. And so, but we do have Dahmer in Wisconsin. But I'm going to say Ed Kemper, because he is 6'7". He was a bartender. He liked to drink. He hung out with a lot of police. He had a big butt. They used to call him Bumble Butt. And he was just a big doofus, dumb dude. And I guess there was something about him that was, you know, mildly sympathetic. There's a certain sympathy to him. Also, you know, I mean, it's tough to say. You know, they're all horrible. Bundy was interesting because, of course, he was able to escape a jail in Washington. Not a lot of people can escape a jail. And then he defended himself on trial. And at the end of the trial, of course, the jury came back with the guilty verdict. He said, "Tell the jury they're wrong," which is one of the funniest quotes of all time. And the judge at sentencing said, "If you weren't a serial killer, it would have been an honor to practice law with you." That's how smart Ted Bundy was. The judge literally told Ted Bundy that it would have been an honor to work with him had he not been a sociopath.
That is crazy.
A sociopath and a serial killer. So there's so many. But I
really got to know him, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah. I would say I'm not really familiar with actual serial killers, but from comic books, probably the Corinthian from Sandman.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, amazing, amazing character. You've probably read Sandman.
He's got mouths for eyes.
He has mouths for eyes. That's awesome. And the whole serial killer convention arc in Sandman, I think it's only like two or three issues, something like that. It's actually surprisingly short.
Yeah.
Is so good. Yeah. That of all of Sandman is the thing that has stuck with me the most. Have you ever read that?
I do. My friend Marcus, who hosts the who is a co-host of Last Podcast on the Left, has a Sandman tattoo.
Oh, there
Man,
we go.
He must be into
it. What about you, Justin?
Favorite serial killer? Obviously, once Pete sort of starts killing, he'll be my favorite because he's I know him. So
once he starts, good Lord.
Yeah, he's getting there. I feel like we're about, what, 2 weeks out?
He's about like five rewatches of Luke Cage.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's going to the Luke Cage killer.
Yeah.
I think, though, I guess, again, talking about
time for a sweet Christmas.
I don't know.
I'm just throwing stuff out.
Okay, great. Yeah. I thought that was a Juggalo impression, as it sounded like to me. I guess my favorite serial killer is the Punisher.
Yeah. Thanks for taking mine.
You were going to say that?
Wait, yeah. You were seriously? He was. Clearly,
I was trying to make you angry.
Yeah, he was clearly trying to rile you up.
And you were going to say that also?
Yeah, I mean, he does a great job of killing people who deserve it. So, yeah, good for him.
Wow. This is interesting.
That's tough to say.
We've been doing this show for 10 years. That is the scariest thing you've ever said on the show.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Okay, 1 week away. That's fine. That's great. I'll change my when I leave town.
Yeah.
I'll change my reservation.
All right, there you go. Great question. You got some free comics. There you go. I think we can take another question from somebody. You, sir, right over there.
Great stuff.
What's your name? What's your question?
Kevin, my question is, you know, we've talked in recent episodes about the conjunction of food and comics. I know we had the long talk last week about Pete's favorite Hunger Scare.
Yeah. And,
if you did a Papa John's comic tie-in, what do you think it would involve?
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to say The Flash. He needs that carb. He needs high fat. He needs Papa in the house.
Also, he'd be great at delivery.
Oh, amazing at delivery. Oh, I mean, man. He might eat the pizza on the way to the delivery, which
means
he has to go
back. What's your favorite Papa John's when you order?
Oh, I get a whole series of different kinds of things.
You say it like you wouldn't understand. It's too complicated. The construction of these pizzas is well beyond your understanding.
You get two toppings, but people don't understand if you get half a two topping, the other half a two topping, you got yourself four toppings on one pizza.
Are you saying you've gamed the system?
They know what I'm ordering. That's all I'm going to say.
You've the opposite of gamed the system, because if you got two toppings on each half, you've paid for four toppings.
You get two toppings, but you can get two toppings on each half,
right?
Which will give you four total toppings. But you just pay for two toppings total.
Honestly, okay. I bet if you call me, I'll come over and we'll hang out.
Oh my God, you would love every second of it. Yeah, the garlic sauce alone, I shoot it.
No, I don't want to eat that. I'll bring my own lunch or something.
Oh, please. It's a dinner, by the way.
Don't come to his house and spit on his food like that.
Treat it with some respect. Wear a button down and a cummerbund.
So you got
a
flash delivering pizzas, but also
that's who I would say.
So, and would you say the villain is just the pizza?
What's the name of the fat bastard from Spawn?
Oh, the Violator?
Yeah, he's trying to get the pizza.
Oh, okay. No. Wow, that's a crossover.
Industry.
That's great. I'll mention, I'll actually deflect the question a little bit. I once wrote a X-Men comic for Taco Bell that was given out in Taco Bell Happy Meals. And it was a weird, interesting experience. I don't know how much I'm actually allowed to talk about it.
Why am I getting demonized? You're legitimately part of the problem.
I am legitimately part of the
problem. You make money off of this. You're cheating on Papa John. You're pushing Taco Bell. You got money from Papa
No,
from
here's
Taco
the thing
Bell.
That was really interesting was it was a Taco Bell comic. It was a series of four comics. There was X-Men, which I wrote. Somebody else wrote a Fantastic Four. I think there was an Avengers one, and there was something
else.
That's
the worst thing I've ever heard a human being doing. That's the that's the epitome of selling out.
It was all about healthy eating. That's the thing that was crazy about it, was they gave it out. They're like, hey, you got to eat healthy. But it was given out at millions of Taco Bells.
That's why you're the problem, Alex.
I am the problem. I got no free Taco Bell, though. That was the only problem with writing the comic. It was pretty bad.
Well, look, he doesn't like you anymore.
But the thing that was interesting about it was all about, like, the only real directives I had with the story. It was about Kitty Pryde, and she was training because I've always wanted to write a Kitty Pryde story. It made me happier than anything I've ever
You've always wanted to write a Kitty Pryde Taco Bell story.
Yes.
I think that's been your
lifelong
dream.
Number one,
Taco
Bell
story.
Number one, Taco based story. Number two, Taco Bell story.
Yeah, that's
number
true.
Three, Kitty Pryde. So I wrote that.
Was
but
Cypher
really, as far as I remember, it was a couple of years ago, the only directors really were like, there had to be something active that she was doing or some of the characters were doing. And then at some point there needed to be a message about healthy eating. And at the end, as a joke in the script, put all of the X-Men stand there holding up vegetables in the last page. But I thought it was pretty clear as a joke. But then I got the final pages back, and it was like Cyclops holding a celery and Wolverine with a carrot and
that's
everything.
Great. And that's in continuity.
That is in continuity. Yes, Cyclops. This is, you guys have been reading Death of X,
Death of X
right?
Yeah.
He didn't eat his celery.
Yeah, and
that's why he dies.
Yeah.
There you go.
Guys, eat your vegetables.
I guess the lesson here is eat your vegetables.
Yeah, there we go. What would you guys write, Papa John's?
Back to the question. I'm having problems under just you've blown my mind in a way that I oh, man.
So feel free to answer the second question. Have you ever, like, sold out completely to a corporation?
I loved writing that book.
I've done much worse for that.
What have you done?
Sold out? Yeah. I worked at CNN for a while writing stuff. Like
there you go, buddy.
No shit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I was on camera. You can see me if you look.
Yeah, you did nerd stuff at CNN, right?
Yeah, social media.
The Clinton News Network.
Oh, God, give me a break. But I don't work there anymore, so it doesn't matter.
Wow.
You can sell out in
fair and balanced Fox News. Yeah.
Are you pushing Fox News or
anything?
No,
I'm just. What?
Do you have to say that?
Was I talking out loud?
Because you work there, you have
to say
that.
Oh, every 45 minutes, I do have to say that, yeah.
Fair
and mumble it.
Fair and balanced. Yeah, the homeless people do that a lot.
I'm contractually, and I just fulfilled my contract, and it's not as bad as Alex.
Interesting turn
of
events.
It's not as bad as me, you guys.
What were you going to say about your Papa John's?
No, I was just going to say, I guess if we're talking about food, I would write a comic for burgers. It would be Wimpy eating a lot of burgers.
That's what already happens. Didn't Iron Man eat Burger King in that damn movie?
Yeah.
And that was one of the worst things. So it already really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's another sellout.
Did you guys ever read, it was so long ago, but Hulk and Thing, there was a graphic novel called The Big Change where they got sent to this alien planet and had to do a burger eating contest.
Yeah,
that was a great book.
That's one of, you love that book.
One of my favorite books.
Yeah. I would do a version of with Papa John's. I would start Pudgy, and it would be like Mouse, M-A-U-S, except the villain would be.
That's an interesting.
Where are you going with this?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a mouse, except it's about his struggle.
Oh.
Okay. I think we all know what that comic was about.
I don't know. I thought you were going to do some weird Holocaust Papa John's.
That's what that's.
Now you're
Papa would have saved a lot of people if Papa was in
the house. Integrity.
I think we're going to move on to the next question before we get too deep into this. Does anybody have one? You'll get some free comics. Anybody? You, sir, right over there. Come on up. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Alex. Dan Slott is
great name.
A lot of comics of Spider-Man now. So my question, you guys are, what are your favorite moments from his run, favorite, you know, story arcs, et cetera?
Great.
I said this a bunch on the show, but he's written so many things that I've loved. I've been a huge fan of his for a while, but I still think the pinnacle is probably Spider-Man Human Torch. The fruit pie thing? Yeah. Spider-Man Human Torch number 2 is a perfect comic book. If you've never picked it up, the idea of the comic was 4 issues. It was Spider-Man and Human Torch, their friendship throughout the decades. Each issue focused on a different decade. And number 2, there's the Spider-Mobile.
Just stop using up all the answers, you know what I mean? Like, he asked you one, you know, and then you...
It's the same issue. Yeah, it's one issue.
Oh, okay. 3 days from killing.
It has all these amazing jokes about the Spider-Mobile and fruit pies and everything else, but works into this emotional story of Spider-Man dealing with the death of Gwen Stacy, and it's wonderful. The issue is absolutely fantastic. So there you go. That's my answer. What about you?
Good answer.
Justin?
I am thinking of a couple. There was
If you need some time, let me go.
Oh, okay.
I would say She-Hulk stuff is some of my favorites.
The question about Spider-Man.
I know. I just wanted to plug his She-Hulk stuff.
Oh, okay.
I think it was very amazing. Again, amazing Spider-Man.
Did you like the moment when he killed Spider-Man and replaced him by Dr. Octopus?
Nope. I hated that. But what I did like was there was an issue, I can't remember which one it was, where everybody was trapped in the subway. And it was like J. Jonah Jameson helping Spider-Man out. It was a really powerful, well-written issue.
I feel like, was the art by Paulo Rivera that issue?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a great issue.
I liked his stuff when he was, Marcos Martin, I believe, was drawing Dance Out Spider-Man for a long time. And that was, there's an issue where he says, like, I'm not going to let anyone die ever again.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And the art on that is so good, and the storyline was such a sort of mission statement for Spider-Man. I really liked that issue. And I actually liked Superior Spider-Man a lot as well.
Villain. Yeah, it was like a white supremacist Spider-Man thing. It was.
We'll send you the issues.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like the one where Tobey Maguire kissed Kirsten Dunst.
That was a good issue. That was one of my favorite issues.
Yes.
There we go. That answers your question. Yes. Can we do one more, Pete?
We can do
one more question. If anybody has anything, absolutely anybody.
A couple folks here. Could be about anything, truly. We've said a lot of dumb things.
Yes, yeah.
Jenny, what do you order on your pizza?
Yeah. There you go.
Nice job, Jenny.
The correct question is, what do you want on your tombstone?
Yeah. Well, I do like Tombstone Pizza. That's a frozen pizza company. My parents fed me that. That's why I'm 6'7" today, 6'10" in my heels. And I like to wear a lot of boots these days. Let's see. I usually do a one, you know, you have a, well, it's tough to say. I get maybe a little chicken and onion. I like that barbecue sauce.
That's a topic?
That's the sauce.
Yeah.
You can choose. You can affect the sauce.
You
as
can
well.
Change the sauce.
I go crazy on there.
Are you sure you're not
a barbecue? Half like a ranch type, the sauce.
I think you're ordering sandwiches or something. No. I don't know. Are you sure this is pizza?
It's pizza. I mean, it's technically pizza. I don't think it's Papa John's. It's a whole other genre, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of onions and chicken, and then I'll do a green pepper, and beef steak. You know, things like
beef
that. I really go wild with it.
Huh.
Yeah, steak, you know. And I never get pineapple on there. I think that's anti-American.
Pineapple's pretty good at a pizza.
No, it's not. And then I think the, all those sorts of cheesy breads and the random chicken nuggets that they can sell you nowadays. And I really just kind of go nuts with the sides.
Yeah,
and then I put everything on the pizza. And
I
have fun.
My ideal pizza is pepperoni and black olives.
I don't believe she asked. That's the most disgusting thing.
That's one of my favorites too.
What? That's not a combo.
Yeah,
it is.
So
it's
good.
A classic.
I love pepperoni.
No, it's not.
And here's the thing: nobody in my family likes olives except for me.
That's
so when I can order it, usually the second I am alone, the second I have a night alone, I'm like, gotta order a pepperoni.
I watch a lot of Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, so I have a pretty good palate, and that is not. not a cuisine.
That is a it classic is pizza topping.
No. Pepperoni and olives?
Black olives sliced up.
No.
Yeah, well, no kidding, they're sliced
so
up.
So good.
I mean, that's...
Well, just, you seem to be so... you don't understand it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, why don't you stick with your barbecue ranch pizza instead?
Why wouldn't I? Bacon? Mm.
And you're ordering chicken nuggets from a pizza place?
Get little boneless chicken. The bone's all gone.
Oh, that's so
that's
weird.
So many steps away from reality. boneless chicken nuggets from a pizza place. I mean,
it's Bobby Jones.
I'm just. I like.
She was just asking him. I, don't
I
know
like a
you
grandma
think.
Slice.
We can answer as well.
No one cares about your traditional mindsets.
What?
grandma slice. Yeah.
I like a grandma slice.
Well, whatever.
okay. I didn't. I only lightly shit on your pizza toppings. No, you're totally disenfranchising mine.
You're out.
What about you?
Well, if we're talking my favorite pizza place, I just go Pepperoni. But if we are talking like Papa John's, I like to go chicken, pepperoncinis.
Boom.
And then I do mushrooms.
Eternal LePage.
What is
boom.
All this chicken on pizza?
I'm gonna agree with Justin. You're ordering a sandwich.
Yeah, this is.
It's not a sandwich.
You want something else, though. I think if you're ordering chicken,
isn't Papa John's slogan better ingredients, but it's a sandwich?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yeah.
No, it's fair and balanced.
Describe what it's fair and balanced, Papa John's.
All right, and that's it for your question. Yeah. Thank you, guys. All right, guys. Very briefly, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek, where we talk about some geek culture topics that happen. Of course, there's a ridiculous amount of TV shows based on comic books. First thing I want to do, because we are rapidly coming upon this, do you watch Walking Dead at all, Ben?
Love The Walking Dead.
Love The Walking Dead. So you know what's happening coming up on the season 7 premiere.
Bunch of zombies.
That's good. That's a safe answer. I will say that's correct.
Do you watch The Walking Dead?
I've seen The Walking Dead.
How many episodes?
Multiple episodes.
All right.
I'm pretty much caught up to date.
Okay. So so most people know at this point that Negan, big bad villain, killed one of 11 people, maybe more than one of 11 people. We have no idea going into the season 7 premiere. They've still managed to keep it secret. With that coming up on Sunday, I wanted to get last-minute guesses and predictions for the episode. Who you think Negan killed? What's going to happen on the season premiere? Pete, what's your guess?
The person to his immediate right.
Maggie?
Yeah.
So you think
you know that?
I have
He's
at
been
this point
nonstop about this.
I have written at this point thousands of words this week alone, and I was telling Pete before the show, it's thousands of words, but it's all the same words mixed in different directions for the entire week. It's a little exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't want Maggie.
What journalism?
Yeah. But yes. From the stuff journalism. That I saw, the blood splatter. I did some analysis.
What a forensic.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of evidence. There was a season 7 sneak peek scene that was released that showed Negan talking to Rick immediately after the act happens. The splash of blood is on the right side of Rick's face. There's guts and brains and other things right below Rick. And there was what looks like Maggie's wedding ring is in that pile of gore. So a lot of people are thinking that Maggie, Lauren Cohen, is going to die instead of Glenn or perhaps in addition to Glenn. But your guess is just Maggie? That's your final guess?
I just hope it's not a main character. I want it to be a side character, but I think it's Maggie.
Well, let me throw a second guess portion on it. So in the scene, Negan taunts Rick, and he says things about like, oh, well, you know, it's important to have a right-hand man. That's an important thing to have. Oh, do you not have a right-hand man anymore? Maybe I took away your right-hand man. And then he asks his right-hand man, what did Rick bring with him? He finds out it's an axe. He takes Rick's axe and then drags Rick, who just said, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. He's like, I got to teach you a couple of things.
Wow.
He drags Rick with the axe into the trailer. So my question is, do you think they're going to cut off Rick's hand?
Well, originally when they were asked about that, they said it would be too much work for Rick to walk around without a hand.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to Greg Nicotero yesterday, who directed the episode, and he said that they have technically figured out how to do that.
Potentially spoiling
statement. He's been without a hand for a while.
I said, so should we start worrying about Rick's hand? And he said, well, I'm not going to tell you to worry, but I'm also not going to tell you to not worry.
Cool. Very cool answer.
So what do you think? Justin, what's your take? Who did Negan kill, and is Rick going to lose?
I think we talked about this, the Glenn killing Glenn, and then later in the episode, Maggie, perhaps, as like a 1-2, because that would really be devastating. I think if they kill Maggie, that's very fucked up.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big move for any sort of, like, beyond all of the goriness and horror they've done so far. So I don't know if they want to push it that far. I hope they don't. Rick doesn't lose his hand. I think that is annoying.
What do you think is annoying?
It's just like then he can't hold things.
That's what it's like in the comic.
One of my favorite things about Rick is how he holds things.
Well, he needs two hands. Most people need two hands.
I don't think you want to look up to someone who is not fully capable.
Wow. I wouldn't say I look up to Rick as like. I'm like, oh, man, someday I'll be so sweaty and miserable that I can just be him.
You do monologue like him sometimes.
Here's my guess. I've been writing a ridiculous amount about this. We've been running through every single possibility of what's going to happen for so long at this point. I just wanted to get here and get past it. I started to become convinced today that exactly what we think is going to happen is going to happen.
Just Glenn.
It's just Glenn. Rick is not going to lose a hand. People are going to be so pissed off after Sunday because exactly what they've thought is going to happen for months at this point is going to happen. But I have no idea. I don't know.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Are you caught up? Do you have any guesses, Ben?
I just feel like Sean Hannity is a hell of a show. And, check out.
Do you think Sean Hannity is going to die?
Sean Hannity.
That would be a great twist if Sean Hannity walks out and he gets beaten to death with a barbed wire baseball.
Honestly, that would really wrap up this whole election season really nicely. Yeah.
It really would. No, I think he's going to have a different network to be a television host.
That's great, actually, because if he's beaten to death and then his phone rings and it's people calling Sean to finally find out about the Trump's international secrets.
Yeah, he's just holding as it rings.
Yeah.
Call Sean Hannity.
Yeah. No, I don't know
call
what's
Sean Hannity. Call
I
Sean Hannity.
I don't know enough to just even predict. Him. Yeah, give him a call. No, call it sounds Hannity. Great, though. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, man, I'm so nervous.
So there's so much other stuff to talk about.
There is so much other stuff to talk about. Pete, what is your number two show that you're most anticipated that you're seeing?
What's making Pete pop?
The first episode of Arrow was phenomenal.
And that's all the time we have. Yeah,
you
shut that down so bad, Pete. I wish you had said
You could have said any other thing and
we
would have
kept going. But instead, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to number one Arrow fan, Pete LePage.
I would also just like to say, I mean, he...
No, we don't have time for that.
I'm not talking about Arrow.
Is it trivia on Arrow?
It's trivia. It has nothing to do with Arrow. I'm just saying, in the last episode, I mean,
No, that was the coolest thing you saw in the helicopter.
I was losing my shit. Okay, guys, it's an opportunity to win $25 free. Who would like $25 free?
Can
simple
I
raising of
no.
no, you can.
Ah, oh, there we go.
Please come on up.
Come on up.
I would need a microphone for this lovely. Remind everybody,
Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny. Jenny, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you will win $25 free, and a gift card to Midtown Comics. So, today's trivia is on Luke Cage, which you should see all
Still
of
on
it.
Luke
it's
Cage?
Amazing.
Times, sure.
Did you do Luke Cage last week?
I did not do Luke Cage last week.
Okay.
You're an asshole. All right, here we go. Question number one. In one of the flashback episodes, what is the reason Luke Cage gives for not letting someone train him? Is it A, picking Jet Li over Bruce Lee? Is it B, picking Bruce Lee over Jet Li? Or is it C, what, no Jackie Chan? So it's either A, which is the real reason, or it's B.
Don't. I think it's A.
It is. It is. Yeah. Yeah, I thought.
Luke Cage would hate your answer.
No, no, that's the thing. Luke Cage said that, like, you would pick Jet Li over Bruce Lee. You can't train me, which I thought was a hilarious moment. Another reason to really check out the whole series. Okay, what does Luke Cage go back into the rubble for? Is it A, pops his hat, B, the swear jar, or is it C, Papa John's?
Ooh.
So it's either...
C, definitely C.
It's not C. It's either... A or it's B, the swear jar, which
All
is the
right.
correct.
I wanted C, but it's B.
B is correct. Yes. Nice job. All right, here we go. Last question. Which burger place was first? Is it A, Wally's, B, Jimbo's, or is it C, Wahlburgers?
Ah.
So is it A, Wally's, or it's B, Jimbo's?
It's Wally's.
Wally's is correct.
Wow, there you go.
Here you go, $25
free dollars.
You're going to win a $25 gift certificate from Midtown Comics. That's awesome.
And a $1 million credit account at Papa John's that you don't have to use.
Oh, you'll use it.
Don't use it.
What? Is it Willie's?
Willie's.
Willie Burger.
Willie Burgers. Oh, I said Wally's. Yeah.
What did you say?
I said Wally's.
So you got
Willy's.
It wrong. You got your own trivia wrong.
I got my own trivia
this
wrong.
This is, to be fair, not the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or the last time.
That's a great.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Black Panther number 7 as well as Mighty Thor number 12.
Oh, great.
All right. Justin, what about you? You got a pick?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Archie number 13, actually. That looks,
unlucky number.
Huh? Yes, true, but it is a number. It is one. You can't get from 12 to 14 without 13.
All right. You could just do it like that.
True. A lot of buildings do that, but I think that's cheating. Because if you're that scared of a number, what's your problem?
The number wins.
Great.
The number wins. The number always wins.
I'm looking forward to Black Hammer number 4 from Dark Horse Comics. Yeah, it's a really good book. It's by Jeff Lemire, and basically it's about a Justice League-style super team that something happened to the past, and they've exiled themselves to a farm that they live on now. They're broken, they're beaten, they're trying to live a normal life, and it's just not working.
They're growing locally sourced corn and beets for sale at a farmer's market in Park Slope, Brooklyn.
Kind of, actually. It's great. It's just like a lot of Jeff Lemire stuff, particularly a lot of his pre-fame stuff.
They kicked all the minorities out, but they're so good because they're growing organic fruit.
Exactly. It's very character-based, which is great. There's a little bit of sci-fi going on. There's a little bit of an ongoing mystery going on. But it's really more about the character dynamics as they try to live in this town and hide the fact that they're super beings. And it's wonderful. It's a really, really good book.
Well, I was thumbing through the list. Snot Girl.
Yes.
Why not? It sounds exciting, and I like her.
The reprinting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a book by Brian Lee O'Malley who did Scott Pilgrim. And
oh, yeah, of course.
We've had a mixed relationship with it here
you
on the
show. You don't like
him. See.
Don't like it.
The comic book or the movie?
Mixed relationship.
Movie
Scott
we
Pilgrim
loved.
We love.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good movie, right?
Yeah,
Snot Girl, a little mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Ben, plug your stuff. What should people check
out? You can find all my shows on Cave Comedy Radio, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, Last Podcast on the Left, The Roundtable of Gentlemen. I have another show called The Ben Kissel Show, but I've been so damn busy I haven't been able to do it in 2 months. But you can go back and listen to some old interviews there. And then I do the Red Eye Podcast as well. And
an amazing stand-up comedian.
Great stand-up. We do our live show this Saturday, I guess, what is it, the 22nd at the Creek in the Cave at 10 p.m. So check that out if you'd like to.
Yeah, the crazy thing is I was like, yes, Saturday is the 22nd because the 23rd is when Walking Dead returns.
There it is.
That's how you base your life. Exactly.
Pre-Walking
Dead and post-Walking Dead. Speaking of things to plug coming up next week on the show, very excited about this. We're going to be back at our regular venue at the Pit at 8 o'clock, our new time, with Karen Berger.
Very excited about that.
If you don't know, she basically was Vertigo. For years, she was the editor who created and nurtured Vertigo for many years. She was Vertigo.
She had Vertigo.
We're going to talk about the fact that she is so dizzy, but also the fact that she has a new book called Surgeon X Out, which is the first time she's edited a book pretty much since she left Vertigo. Yeah. So that should be exciting and interesting. There you go. A couple of other things we want to plug. Pete.
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but if you would like to donate a little bit of money, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of fun prizes on there, including we'll make a personalized video for you and give you a superpower. Also send you some stickers and some other
things. Give you an actual superpower.
How do we give somebody a superpower?
It's a complicated process. You might die. Don't worry about it.
All right,
fine print.
All you have to do is eat Papa John's 6 days in a row.
That's all you got to do.
There we go. We're working on
New York.
Pudgy.
I will not do
Pudgy
that.
Pudgy those superpowers.
He's the best. Best mouse around.
There you go. All right. That's it. Thank you guys so much for coming. We're here every Tuesday night. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you guys. Good night. Papa's in the house.
Better ingredients, better pizza.